So our question this morning is, what is heaven? What is heaven? Christian television channels are full of interviews and programs about people who have been to heaven and come back. Recently I heard that there was, I think it was a 75-year-old man who was being interviewed on one of the channels who claimed that he had been to heaven for 3 months and that God had sent him back, and he recounted his experience. I recall another description given some years ago now by an American preacher called Robert Sliarden. And his account of heaven was of having a water fight with Jesus in the river of life and being given a guided tour around a huge warehouse where there were spare human parts. And he was informed that if people on earth only had the right amount of faith, only had sufficient faith, then they could have had all of these spare parts to replace their diseased body parts. Is that what heaven is? That's just rubbish. That's an absurd and worldly view of heaven. It's unbiblical and detracts from its essential glory. So what we want to know this morning is, what does the Bible say heaven is? And because this is a sermon, you will not be surprised to know that there are 3 points. Because all good sermons must have 3 points. And the first of our 3 points, as we answer the question, what is heaven, is this: heaven is the special dwelling place of God. The constant theme of Scripture is that heaven is God's special dwelling place. Isaiah 57, verse 15 says, "For thus says the high and lofty one, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place." Or Psalm 33, verses 13 and 14, "The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth." And we read that passage from the Sermon of the Mount in Matthew 6. For there we read in the first verse about our Father who is in heaven. And then in that part of the passage that we call the Lord's Prayer, it begins, "Our Father in heaven." And then in verse 14, as it speaks that we should forgive others, we are told, "Your heavenly Father will also forgive you." So this is the constant reference of the Scriptures, that heaven is a place where God's presence is especially known. In fact, in the Jewish mind, God and heaven were so closely identified with each other as to be inseparable. So, for example, the terms kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven are synonyms. They mean the same. they are used by different gospel writers to mean the same thing. Now, the Jews of Jesus' time had an utter awe and reverence of the name of God. So they would never take an oath in God's name, lest by even having God's name on their lips, they would sinfully make him smaller than he is. And so they would swear their oaths by heaven, for in their own mind, that was the next best thing. But even that, Jesus says in Matthew 23 and verse 22, is something they should not do. He says, "And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it." So Jesus is saying the association between heaven and God is so strong that you can't swear an oath in the name of heaven and not really be meaning that oath in the name of God. Or think of the parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15 and verse 18. And the prodigal, he's wasted his inheritance, and at some point or other, he comes to his senses, we are told, and he constructs a speech that he's going to make to his father when he gets back home. And you can imagine him as he takes that journey back home, how he rehearses it time and time again. And this is what he says. "I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you." And what he means, of course, is that he sinned against God. Now, of course, the Almighty is greater than heaven. Heaven cannot contain God. We mustn't think that in some way heaven confines God. God is omnipresent in all places at all times. Solomon, in his dedication of the temple that he built in 1 Kings 8 verse 27, says, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less the temple which I have built?" So God is not limited to heaven. God is everywhere, all of the time. You and I, sometimes some of us have tried to be really clever and be in two places at once. I guarantee you've never succeeded at it yet. And I certainly know that I haven't. But God is not confined by space and time. And he inhabits everywhere in an eternal present. No, God is greater than even heaven itself. But the greatness and the glory of heaven lies in the fact that God has made it his special dwelling place, where his presence is specially known. So what does this mean? Well, it means this: if you don't love God, you won't like heaven. Heaven is the place where those who come to love God in this life love to live forever with their God in the glory of his special dwelling place. Because their sins are forgiven, and they have been cleansed through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed on Calvary. They live intimately with God, the God they love and the God who loves them in heaven. And the horror of hell does not in the fact that God is absent. Psalm 139 verse 8 says, If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. The horror of hell lies in the fact that those there have to cope with the presence of a holy God they never loved. And they will bear his wrath burning fiercely against them for eternity. And so I have to ask you this morning, have you come to love God? Do you have that intimate relationship with him through faith in Jesus Christ as the one who paid the penalty for your sin in your place in his death on the cross? And if not, then the presence of God, which is heaven to those who truly believe in Christ, will be hell to you. And dear Christian friend, remember that the glory of heaven doesn't lie in the fact that there will be no more illness, that you will never ever want for anything, that you will never be unhappy. All those things are true, but they are just the side effects, the spin-offs, the peripheral benefits, not the substance of heaven's joys and glory. The thing about heaven that will fill you with uncontainable joy is that you will see God there in all his wondrous glory. You will experience his presence forever. And so we're not to make heaven worldly in our minds. It's much more than a glorious human spare parts center or a place to have water fights with Jesus, or even a place where all of your desires will be satisfied. It's the dwelling place of God. And we are to enjoy a foretaste of heaven in this world. We are to know fellowship with God in this life, and all of the blessings that that brings. And yet, whilst we enjoy that, we're still so conscious of our sin. And so we look forward to heaven to come, when the knowledge of the presence of God, his touch upon our lives, will be infinitely greater than we can ever know in this world, and not be detracted from by the knowledge of our sin. There will be no sin, and how glorious it will be. Point one, over and done with. Point two. What is heaven? It's the place of the Lamb. It's the place where Jesus sits upon the throne of God. We are told in Acts 1 and verse 11 that as the disciples looked on, Jesus ascended to go into heaven. And the most complete view we have of Jesus in heaven is given for us in vision of John in the book of Revelation. And what's most interesting is that John sees Jesus in heaven as the Lamb 30 times. John gives that title to Jesus as he views him in heaven, the Lamb. 3 times he speaks of him as the Lamb that was slain. Revelation 5, verse 6, same chapter, verse 12, Revelation 13, verse 8. Jesus is seen as being the center of the praise and worship of heaven. All that are there sing to his glory. They're praising him. And what they praise him for is his atoning death on Calvary. Heaven is a place where the full extent of Jesus Christ's suffering and atoning sacrifice on the cross is appreciated. There, the focus of attention is on the grace of God in providing salvation for men at such great cost to his Son. Heaven is preoccupied with one thing, the glory and majesty of the Savior as he bears the marks of his sacrifice. It's been quite a summer of sport, and there have been those who have been very successful, and they've returned with their gold medals and with their trophies to great acclaim. And perhaps in their hometowns, they've been the focus of attention. They may have even been given a parade in which the streets were lined with people acclaiming their sporting success. But it's a few months later now, and people aren't lining the streets of those cities today. And we've all moved on, haven't we? And perhaps you can't even remember the names of those successful athletes. But you see, in heaven, things never move on. Every day is full of the praise of the people of God for the great victor of Calvary, the great champion of his people, the Lord Jesus Christ. For heaven is the place of the Lamb where Jesus receives all glory, praise, and honor as Savior and King. And so heaven is only for those who know Jesus Christ as the Lamb who came to take away their sin. And if you do not know Jesus as your Savior in this life, you will not come to know what it is to praise him as he ought to be praised in the life to come. There will be no place for you in heaven. You need to come before him in repentance, to seek the forgiveness of sins that only he can give, because he alone died to pay the price for those sins, to take the punishment of your sin in your place. And for us who by God's grace are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the glory of heaven lies in the fact that not only is it the special dwelling place of God, but there Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, our Savior, sits upon the throne. It's Emmanuel's land. What makes heaven so special is we will see with our own eyes those marks upon Jesus' body. The nail prints in his hands and feet, the gaping wound in his side, the marks of the thorns pressed upon his head. And we will gaze upon those marks of his death for us, and every fiber of our being will be thrilled. Every sense will be overwhelmed with the greatness of his love towards us in dying in our place. And we will sing his praises, and we will never get tired of thanking God for him who is our Savior. Things we do so half-heartedly now, we will do with full devotion then. Nothing will keep us from praising him as he ought to be praised. And what will occupy us is not the glory of heaven, but the one who is heaven's glory, Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we're going to sing in a short while, "The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on my King of grace. Not at the crown he giveth, but on his pierced hand. The Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's land." What is heaven? The special dwelling place of God, the place of the Lamb. Well, you're all competent mathematicians, I'm sure, so you know that's two down, which means there's one to go. And for our last point, as we ask what is heaven, the answer comes: the resting place of the saints. The other definition given by Scripture of heaven is that it is the resting place of believers. Revelation 14, verse 13. "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them." All the believers from all ages, Old Testament, New Testament, will be gathered together as one body of redeemed people, united in the one purpose of praising the Lord Jesus Christ and enjoying God forever. And heaven is full of this innumerable throng. And they are all sanctified. They are all made holy. They are pictured as being clothed with white robes. And so heaven is a place of absolute perfect harmony, where the fellowship amongst all believers is perfect. And there is never a cross word, not even a harsh thought. It's a place where God's people live forever in perfect fellowship with Christ and perfect fellowship with each other. But to enjoy the perfect fellowship of heaven, you have to be a part of Christ's church here on earth. The joy of heaven involves being perfectly united with those whom you have joined in this life by faith in Jesus Christ. And if you've not truly surrendered your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, You're not part of his church. And so you will have no part in the church's fellowship in heaven. So you need this morning to come to know Jesus Christ as your dear Christian friends. Are you looking forward to the day when our fellowship in heaven will be perfect? We enjoy something of that fellowship here and now, but it's mixed, isn't it? It's mixed with unfortunate disagreements. Very sadly, on occasions, it's mixed with rather sharp divisions and even hurtful comments. But none of that will be in heaven. No bickering, no backbiting there. There will be only true and lasting Christian unity. We will be one with each other in the praise of Christ our Savior. And so it's called the saints' everlasting rest. We can be discouraged, can't we? Perhaps on Sunday mornings where, due to different factors, a few of our number are away or ill or on holidays. And even when we're all together, we're hardly a huge number, are we? And so there are those opportunities, like perhaps the Aberystwyth Conference. Over 1,000 people. The singing is great. It's wonderful to be among such a crowd. It boosts us. But then the reality strikes when we get back. We can feel so marginalized and insignificant. Well, remember, dear friends, the day will come when we will stand with an innumerable multitude before the throne of God. Heaven will be full of glory, full of praise, and full of the saints. And we'll be there. Praise God. We'll be there. Now, I think I've misled you already this morning. Yeah. Yes, all right. No. Because I'm going to quote the other one. The hymn I quoted earlier, we're going to sing tonight, so you'll have to come back tonight to enjoy that one. The hymn we're going to sing in a very brief moment is a different one. And it says, our God is the end of the journey, his pleasant and glorious domain, for there are the children of mercy who praise him for Calvary's pain. What is heaven? Well, I'm certainly not looking forward to a water fight with Jesus in the river of life. I certainly don't think heaven is a spare parts center where disappointment reigns because people don't have enough faith to ask for the healing of their bodies. The Bible tells me that heaven is something infinitely greater, spectacularly magnificent, because it is the dwelling place of God. It's the place of the Lamb, and it's the place where the innumerable company of God's people know eternal rest and bliss. Max Boyce used to sing, didn't he? And I was there, speaking about witnessing some of the triumphs of Welsh rugby's past. Well, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can say something far, far more satisfying, more great than even the triumphs of the Welsh team of the 70s. You can say, I will be there in the glory of heaven to come, because Jesus is my Savior. Praise be to his name.